Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpa review titled Covering the Spread, featuring Shane, Braden, and Drew. On today's show, we play the domain game featuring supercool.com, since.com, and agenix.com. Then we've got the NameJet and a Jet segment sponsored by NameJet. And we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including buildertools.com, hoagie.com, rbf.com, and careeradvice.com. Then the Sherpas talk about your attitude and mindset and how that can make all the difference in life and investing. They also talk about motivations for buying and selling domains and how they look for spread when acquiring domains. Obviously, that's the difference between the buy price and the sell price, but do they calculate that in dollars or multiples, and does it change at different price levels? Find out more on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button everywhere you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. So check all that out. And big shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the only ICANN accredited registrar that lets you trade DNS domains on chain and access crypto investors. With 3% commissions at cost renewals and hundreds of resellers soon to be integrated, they're a cutting edge marketplace you need to know about and use to get more sales and keep your costs down. Unstoppable can save you thousands in registration costs. They've got $5.com Fridays and $5 off all transfers in. No promo code required. And also, big shout out to Escrow.com. Here at Media Options, we've relied on Escrow.com for years. They've handled some of our biggest deals, including 7- and 8-figure transactions. We use their specialized domain services because they understand domains. As the largest online licensed and audited escrow operator, Escrow.com is fast, secure, and accountable with workflows built specifically for domains. Whether you're buying your first domain or closing million-dollar deals, they protect buyers and sellers around the world from fraud while ensuring smooth transfers. Escrow.com, domain deals done right. And also, big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is your go-to domain intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cedo, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain name. So go to DNX.com and get your domain. Last but not least, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and, of course, domain investing. Finally, we have some upcoming domain conferences to mention. NamesCon Global's coming up November 5th and 6th in Miami. Go to NamesCon.com for more information and to register. Use coupon code DS20 to get 20% off the ticket price. And remember, the ICA has their annual member meeting coming up January 15th to the 17th at Park MGM in Las Vegas. As you know, I'm a member of the ICA board, and we're very, very excited about what's in store for the meeting. So go to ICA.Vegas for more information and to register. And with all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J on, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Domain Sherpa review, getting into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become more successful domain name investors ourselves. These are the experts, the OGs, the best in the biz. There are four segments to a Domain Sherpa review. We've got the grand opening. That's where we are right now, where I intro the Sherpas. We see what's going on with them. Talk about some related things, some unrelated things, AKAs and whatnot. Then we get into the domain game. That's where we hear about what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses on the price. We keep score. And then somehow, some way, someday, we get some swag to the winners. You're shaking your head, but literally Shane is wearing a hoodie right now. The proof is on the screen.
Hoodie's from 1982.
Exactly.
I handed those hoodies out at your house. You know what I'm saying?
Like a Jets concert.
It's like random, like heart, you know, share or something.
That hoodie says Def Leppard on the back.
It does. Exactly. It's a Pyromania edition.
Ah, there we go. Pour some sugar on me, baby. Let's pour some domains on me. All right, and then we got the NameJet and the Jet, where we review a list of domains coming up for auction on NameJet. We see what the Sherpas like, what they don't like, And then we get into grand closing where we'll discuss anything we haven't already covered, what's going on in the domain space, looking at the market trends, current events, conferences, all that good stuff, allowing the guests to mention, promote anything they want to talk about that we've not already discussed or maybe that we've already discussed. You know what? It's not that deep. But anyway, let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas. Over to my left, we got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, Drew. Drew got what I need. Never going to give Drew up, get Rick Roll, Graybeard, the Domain Pirate. What's going on, man? Although, you know, not really graybearded. More like...
Look, I tell you what. I'm 14 days into a detox. My complexion is feeling strong. You know what I'm saying? Look at this. It's like all smooth. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great.
That's good, man. That's good.
Good. You know, we got peace in the world. Almost the whole world. Not the whole world. Everywhere except Chicago and Russia and Ukraine. And
Portland is a war zone. Apparently.
Yeah, it is a war zone. You got to watch out. You might get an inflatable dinosaur may carjack you.
Where?
In Portland. Well, yeah, yeah, because it's like, they're like, oh, it's a war zone.
Listen, those saggy titties, man, they scare the shit out of me. You know what I mean?
Blue hair. That's crazy.
Blue hair and saggy pancake boobs. Ooh, run. You better
looking
run.
Like those, you know looking like those little troll dolls.
The other way. It is important to recognize a little bit of peace in the world. I don't know if it's going to last. There's still a lot of obstacles to overcome. But I'll tell you what. This is an extremely important moment, and I, for one, am very grateful for everybody involved in making that happen. And the most important thing is that the hostages are home.
100%. Look, that is a blessing, and it's a beautiful thing, and credit to everybody. Like, and that means the old administration, the new administration, whatever it takes.
No, not the old administration. They really done some shit to fuck this up, but. I would say the new administration and the wider people outside of that administration that helped make this happen, including some of the other Arab leaders. So,
are we going to get political? You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think we're being political. We're talking about peace.
But you just said, you know, and I'm not, look, and I don't even want to, I'm not picking sides and I'm not going there, but I think you got to recognize that, you know, the return of hostages that took place during both, right? Like, I mean, if you're going to, you know, make the comments.
I mean, look, every hostage that gets returned is a blessing. It's a phenomenal thing, 100%. But there is a very stark difference between all hostages, living hostages coming home, and even if it was all but one, right? That's a stark difference because it changes the entire playing field. There's no more excuses on either side now. And so... I would say at this point, even though we are facing quite a few obstacles, there's nothing you can use as an excuse anymore to say, like, you know, there cannot be hostility on either side. Any hostility from either side at this point should be responded with extraordinary force. Extraordinary. If Hamas does anything to Israel at this point, Palestine should be a parking lot. But on the contrary, if Israel does not refrain from any further hostility in Palestine, in particular Gaza, at this point, then that is 100% in Netanyahu, and that guy's got to go. So I think that we are at a phenomenally important point where we've reset the board, and there is absolutely no excuse on either side for further hostility. And so at this point, I think the morality becomes a lot clearer. And I hope that we can move forward from there. And I hope we can maintain peace. And I'll tell you what, look, I am very skeptical. We've got 3,000 years of war. I'm skeptical that, you know, today is the first day of peace, but I am hopeful. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
But I'm very grateful
that a minimum that those hostages after 2 years and 6 days are now home, sleeping in their own beds or at least a hospital bed getting treated. But they are home and on their way to sleeping in their own beds. And that makes my heart smile. So,
hey, man, I'm with it. All we are saying is give peace a chance, you know?
That's it. Give peace a chance. Give anyway. Peace a chance. Except for Charlotte and Atlanta, who basically ruined my whole morning at Barclays Bank credit card. For you, there are no blessings.
Oh, man. All right. Well, a lot to unpack, but to just keep walking, you know what I mean? To keep walking past. Let's keep it moving. To my lower left, we got my boy Braden Pollock, aka Tony Stark, aka Benjamin Button, aka Eat Bray Love, aka Braden Statham, aka Braden Pollockton, the Archduke of Calabasas and Viscount of Woodland Hills. It's not that your domain is worthless, it's just that it's worth less. You know what I'm saying? What's up, Braden?
You know, it's early over here. I had to set my alarm to get up at 6 a.m.
Well, like I said, you wanted the early time slot. You know what I'm saying? You got things to do today. You got three emails to respond to and some lattes to have.
Appointments, and I, you know, got training. The storm here in L.A. came through last night. I mean, it's like a storm. There's like floodwaters happening in Los Angeles.
That's like the equivalent of like someone spilling a glass of water. You know what I'm saying? It's like unreal.
Yeah, I think they're getting like a nor'easter up in, you know, Rhode Island. You know, Massachusetts.
Yeah, the coasts are getting hit hard. Both
New York, Connecticut. Yeah,
really. You know, crazy. See, this is. I gotta get out more.
Floods on the coasts. Hmm. They don't talk about that on Andy Griffith when you're watching it, or Andy Griffin.
Just be safe out there, man. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm definitely you know, for me, it's funny, you know, living in Florida, we go through, you know, we're in hurricane season. Knock on wood, it's actually been a pretty quiet hurricane season, which is great because, you know, we've dealt with some of that. But, you know, when it's like sunny and nice outside, it's like the idea that it's not like that everywhere else is like, you know, it's, you know, so be safe, man. Be safe. All right, let's keep it moving. We got my boy Shane Coulter, a.k.a. Sugar Shane, a.k.a. Honey Shane, a.k.a. Mike Rowe, a.k.a. Blame It on the Shane, a.k.a. House of Shane, a.k.a. The Culture Club, The Culture Personality, doing it for the culture. And Shane in a membrane and Shane in a blockchain. Chain, chain, chain. What's up, man?
All good. I got, I was telling Drew, I got humbled at the Chicago Marathon. I had all this training. I'm fit And then you go out there, and it's just not your day. So I was like, you know, I wouldn't say depressed, but I'm like checking myself when I thought I was the king and I was old man king. And then you go out there and you're like, nah.
Yeah, it's not the day. Hey, look, man, you know, what is it? Number 38 marathon for you or something?
Yeah, something in that. But yeah, it still doesn't, you still hate to have it. Like, that's the thing about events, like when you gear up to them for months or even years and then that doesn't go well, it's...
Oh, dude, it's, yeah, a, you know, so it's like just, you said, it's humbling, especially as you get older, right? Because it is like tied to your sort of athletic prowess and, you know, the training and everything. But what happened? So you checked out like what, halfway through? So you were like 13?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like I run 20, 23 milers every weekend all year and felt fine. And then I get in a corral of 52,000 people and I had to pee and you have to get in the crowd.
Are you
sure
52,000 people?
Yeah. And
how many people are stupid enough to run a marathon?
Yeah. And it's like, I got in a corral. I put it like a normal time. I didn't put a real time. So I'm back with a little slower runner. So I have to pee. I have to wait in a corral for an hour. I can't find a bathroom for another hour. So 2 hours I'm with my governor on, trying to weave around people. And I just lost my attitude. Attitude and mental fortitude is everything in so many cases, but it's especially in endurance. That's where like Aaron Wilkin, he's amazingly strong mentally. Like you can get past all the physical and I just became weak. And so when I got through half, I'm like, this is going to be a death march. This is going to hurt so bad. I'm going to lay down.
What? MrUncomfortable.com?
Yeah. I just couldn't do it. Like I was disappointed in myself, but it's a one time. There's a lot of times where I've never quit before, but anytime I've done something that I didn't do as well, I regret decisions I made. This one, I haven't regretted 1 second. Like I am so glad I just went to my hotel room, took a shower and went home. And we got I got a busy November. I'm going straight from NamesCon to a 50K in Austin, Texas. So I got another go at it in 3 weeks. We'll see how that goes. And I'm not sure the day after NamesCon is the best prep for a big race, but you won't see me drinking at NamesCon. You'll see me having fun, but I probably won't be drinking.
Yeah, it's, you know, so, well, look, attitude is latitude, right? And I think you're right. I think it approach, you know, and I think it applies in investing and domaining as well, right? Yeah. I think the, you know, being able to weather the storm, you know, also knowing your limits, I think those are all sort of key things that, you know, sort of apply all over the place, right? So here's a question. So, you know, so you, when did you actually check out? Like how many miles in were you?
14, mile 14.
So you basically still ran 14 miles.
And yeah, like, and I ran
sub which is like pretty wild. It's like, yeah, you know, you made it like, I mean, that alone is a lot. So then, okay, so now you kind of like, you got your day ahead of you, right? So now you basically got extra time. You're halfway through the race. So what do? You just kind of, so you just sort of step
and
out.
I walked home. I walked 1.4 miles to my hotel room. The funny thing is I didn't realize it, but at 13.5, my mom had seen me and she texted me. I text my wife and say, don't worry about me. I've DNF'd because, you know, everybody's tracking me. That's the other thing. When you got like 50 people watching your every move on a race, I mean, and you DNF, the texts just come flying like you've died in a plane crash or something.
Damn, yeah.
But my mom's like, yeah, you didn't look great when you went through. And I was like, thanks.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. It's like that. That helps. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wasn't there. And again, you know, when you have like, my daughter's running incredibly well. She's running kind of semi-pro now. And we've talked to her over the years about getting through these moments and pushing through. Like when I did the ultra the other time, I took a nap. Remember, I took a 30-minute lap to regroup because I was so nauseous, but I regrouped and then finished another 10 miles. And so you know, you got to push through some things, do what you got to do. And I'm always teaching my kids and my family, like, be strong and push through the hard times. And then I walk off the course. But it's also, there's a stupidity level when you keep going.
But I think there's a humility in knowing your limits. And you can't be crazy sometimes because it's like, for what, right? It's like, you know.
For what is everything. Like, my cousin finished in 5 hours and 55 minutes in her marathon. Kudos to her for finishing a marathon, but you couldn't pay me to have a 6 hour day out with 50,000 people walking through the city. No way. Those kind of things. Nah, I'm not doing that. So it is what it is. Like I said, one day of sulking was yesterday. Today we're going on, we get back to work and I try not to make it the centerpiece, but I'd be lying if it wasn't, you know, kind of who I am and what I enjoy and what makes me. So when what makes me gets broken down, it takes a little recovery to get back on the horse. So,
That's interesting. Hey, look, man, I appreciate
part of life. That's mental.
Yeah. Well, look, I appreciate you sharing.
100%. And I just want to say, like, I can't even imagine the number of people in the domain space alone, never mind in the rest of your life, that have been motivated or in some way influenced by you and telling your stories about your training and pushing through and the endurance and all that shit. I mean, I can say I've been extremely influenced. Good on you. Everybody has an off day. I'm sure you'll bounce back.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. We talk about health all the time, all of us. I mean, our off conversations are about trying to stay stronger. And so we each got our own ways of doing it. And one of the times we're going to do something that's going to not feel real good. And then we have to just pivot.
Oh, hey, man. That's what it is, dude. It's all about, you know, the bounce back, right? And, you know, just there's a lot of lessons in that. And again, appreciate you sharing. And I just find the whole thing very interesting. As somebody who's never run a marathon, I can confidently say that I probably will never run a marathon. You know, it's interesting just the whole process.
But you've gone like 0 for 17 from the 3-point and got benched before, I'm pretty sure, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, that's just, you know, that's table stakes, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
Dude, all good. All right. Well, let's get into some actual domaining and some domain talk. So let's get right into the domain game. Drew, I'm going to kick it to you to see what you got. You got a buy or a sell?
Came prepared today. First time ever.
Wow. See, look at this. It's like the reverse of Shane situation. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay. The domain is, it's a sale. And the domain is supercool.com.
Yeah, I'm out on this, actually, so.
What? You don't know?
Yeah, you told me the other day.
You see, he's not on. He's not going to participate. That's what he's saying, because he knows.
I know, but I don't think I told you.
Well, you told me what the offer was, at least at some point. Like, I'm ballparked enough that I know, like, I feel like
yeah,
I have.
Yeah, you know we got an offer, but that's not the offer I accepted.
I just feel it's a little bit of an unfair advantage, so I'm going to defer.
Insider information.
So, okay. You know.
All right.
just to keep the the impropriety down, the propriety up. You know what I'm saying? So we'll leave it to you guys.
All right.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Let's flip it and see what we're working with.
This is like
as close to and full on over under as you could get, man.
JT, I'm just curious, what would you have said?
Wait, see what it is. Listening.
I would have been in the same exact range. So I
bid 70. I guess 75,000, and Shane guessed 75,500.
Yeah, so, that's it for the folks that are listening and not watching.
Which of 500?
Would have said 75 grand too.
And the
sale price was $100,000.
Boom! It goes the over. Shane gets the point.
I love that name. If I remember correctly, I bought that for $5,000. I know for a fact I bought it in Monty's NamesCon auction last year.
I was gonna say that wouldn't be recent. That was last year.
Well, I think it was Austin.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, I love that name.
I bought it in an auction, and I feel like it was a live auction. And the only live auction I've been in the last few years was NamesCon Austin.
That was last year. Yeah, you haven't been since before COVID.
Yeah, so I think that's right. Let me...
You're wrong. It was... bought that back in 21, dude.
Really?
Good. That makes me feel a lot better, because if I'm missing shit like that... Like,
yeah, actually, according to the inventory, we got it at NameJet.
Yeah, yeah, I just...
Oh, you're
just,
right. You're right. I bought it for $9,500 in 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NameJet. Wow.
Is it possible it was in the extended, like in the Monty extended auction for NamesCon? Possibly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I bet that's what it was. I'm pretty sure that was in a live auction. I remember thinking, oh, super cool. I really like that name. And
NameJet was powering the auction for a minute. Remember?
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it was. I'm gonna say that's what it was. But
$9,551.
I paid $9,551, and I always liked that name. I don't remember who it was. I'm gonna say it was Josh Reason that told me I overpaid, but somebody told me you overpaid.
He's saying no right now.
Josh is definitely saying, is not saying.
Well, yeah, 2025, Josh is like, yo, there's no such thing as overpaying. But 2021, Josh was in a different camp. You feel me? And
baby Josh.
Yeah.
He's going to have to be on next week to talk about that. He's going to want to clear the air on.
But anyways, I'm not going to throw Josh under the bus. It may not have been Josh, but somebody in my circle told me, oh, you overpaid. And I was like, I don't think so. Super cool is super cool.
The reality is, Josh would be one of the few people that would tell you that you overpaid.
But that's 2025, Josh. That's 2025, Josh. So anyway, so we've had a lot of offers. That game has gotten a ton of attention and a ton of offers. But they're always in the 10, 25, you know. I don't know if we ever got one above 25. Somebody made me probably 10 offers over the last few years on Sado. But they just never got there. And this was an Afternic sale. And they were stuck at 75, 75, 75. And I'll tell you, I almost took 75 a week ago. And then I went into Google and I started looking and I said, you know what? There is so many end users. And this is such an exceptional brand. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about the domain, and what do I say? I said, this domain is super cool, right? It literally is just such an amazing brand. It's such a super cool brand, you know? So anyways, I loved it. I stuck to my guns. I said, nope, that's it. But I did lower the price. I had it at 150, and I said, I'll take 100. And they closed it at 100. So thank you, Afternic.
You know, in your defense about the overpaying is, apparently, we all thought you overpaid because you outbid all of us.
Well, that's it. That's it.
Right? Because, I mean, I remember it in auction, too, and I didn't want to pay that much, right?
Yeah.
So you thought it was worth the most, and you paid more than anybody else.
Yep. Yep. And I got it exactly at 10X in 4 years.
More.
10X in 4 years, yeah. So, anyways, I thought that was a good sale. I think, you know, I think that's probably exactly the right price. You know, could it have been 125 or 150? Maybe. But I think 100 grand is pretty much the right price for that name.
Great sale.
And I don't think somebody overpaid. I think that it was really the right price. I mean, that's that name sold for the price it should. So that's why I decided to talk about it. I think it's a great name that sold for the right price.
Well, and a 10.5x in 4 years, ain't nobody gonna complain about
Bitcoin. Yeah, show me where I can do that. I can't do that in Bitcoin.
Can't get that anywhere.
No.
And the key is replaceability, right? So that's the other thing I look at. Even if I get a 10x, but I bought it so good that I can't replace that at that price. That's a whole nother story as well.
Look, that is a hard name to replace, right? But again, at the end of the day,
you can replace it for 100 grand. You can replace it for 50 grand, 20 grand. Yeah, not 20 grand probably, but
yeah.
But I think that's a good
something in that 25, 35 range.
Yeah.
Is what it would take to replace that name.
What would you think it'd go for at auction today? So let's say it came up today.
Great question. I bet it goes 15 to 25.
What I was going to say.
15 to 20.
I was going to say 20 grand.
Yeah, I think that's right. 15 to 20 grand is where it goes.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, so I'm not going to talk about, just as an example, like I just got Tori.com. Everybody was in a public auction, so nobody, I wouldn't bring that up on Sherpa because everybody saw it. But I got Tori.com for 58 grand. I feel like that was a steal. Like, compared to 20 grand, let's say,
why?
For a super.
Why? Because I think that's a lot. So tell me why you think it's worth that much.
Tori.com.
And by the way, we're talking about Tori.com, just to give the audience a perspective. Anybody who's not, you know, so Drew paid about 60 grand for it in auction pretty recently.
58.
And Braden thinks it's a lot. I kind of think it's a lot too, but you know.
But so first off, I have said this on this show, in my opinion, I am like the two-letter docs, like me and jackatdn.com, who believe two-letter.coms are the holy grail of digital naming, okay? But outside of that, in my opinion, a four-letter, easy to spell, pronounceable, four-letter brand, one word, first name, whatever it might be, is the holy grail of branding. In all of the best sales that I have ever made, you could say Zoom, you can say YOLO, you could say Gala, you could say, I don't know, there's a lot of them. All of my best sales ever were four-letter.coms. Obviously, I have some killer two-letter.com sales too, but of one-word.coms, all of my best sales, all of them were always one-word, four-letter.coms. And in particular, the best ones are the ones that are a CVCV, consonant vowel, consonant vowel. So Tori.com, literally, it checks every freaking box you can think of. It's a first name, a common first name. It's an easy to spell consonant vowel, four-letter. It's represents many existing brands. It ticks every single box. So to me, and if you do your homework, which I like to do when I'm buying a bigger name, this domain has never been available for sale. Now, I actually have some history with this name. Back in 2018, and then again in 2021, and then again in 2023, I had direct correspondence with the owner. At one point, I had a deal to buy this domain for 40 grand, and then the guy backed out because the domain was owned by his whole family, and the whole family decided, no, we're not going to sell it. So I had a deal to buy it for 40 grand. The family backed out. The domain has never, ever been for sale. And when he backed out, he didn't try to raise the price. He said, the family has decided we are not selling the domain because it was owned by their father or the grandfather or something. The domain was owned by a Japanese family since inception. It's never been available for sale. It has just been in a lockbox. It was almost impossible to even get a hold of these people. And so those are my favorite things. Those types of domains have pent up demand. Nobody's ever been able to get a hold of them. Even if they did, they couldn't get
definitely, the- definitely more value for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great point.
My proxy was 30. So, I mean, you paid double.
Where are you going to get Tori.com for 30 grand? It's a first name. I know.
I mean, I'm just focused on bigger names, but I mean, I liked it. I just didn't like it as much as you.
So just in particular, I'm also very hot on female first name. Also male, but primarily female first names. Because I think that where we're headed with AI, I don't care about all these .AI domains. I know I'm probably the one that's wrong. And, you know, certainly with the MarsWisdom.com, wisdom.ai sale.
You capture everything. You capture the AI boom. You capture the
traditional.
You capture everything. So you're not.
And mine doesn't have an expiration date. You know what I mean? This thing has a shelf life because it can be anything, right? I'm not pigeonholed. So I think where we're heading with AI is, you know, everybody having these individual agents, corporations having agents for hire, and all those things, they're going to have names, or maybe not all of them are going to have first names, but it makes sense. You know, if you look at AI through media, right? Media, let's say entertainment becomes reality. And so, because that's what's programmed into us. If you look at the smartest engineers and the smartest physics people and the smartest, they look at Elon, right? He's the perfect example. Everything he does, he names it after something from sci-fi, from one of his favorite sci-fi novels, or from, you know, Peter Thiel does the same. The Android guy does the same. Like, all these names, they all come from sci-fi. And so I think where we're headed, there is a very promising future. Rick Schwartz agrees. He, for whatever reason, took the .AI pill. But I think that first, short, easy to spell, first names have a very promising future for AI, and then for all the other reasons that I already mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, nothing's changed over time. People love names. People like naming their company after their last names. They like naming them after Greek things. They like naming them after planetary. Like, none of this has changed. It's just
invokes all that meaning, all that history, all that recognition. It invokes it when you use a name. It makes sense.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter what you're naming. It's naming. It doesn't matter what the product is. It is eternal. So I think names would always be that way. And again, even last names, like, people love naming things after themselves.
Oh yeah. It's shockingly hard. If you look at like a list of like the 1,000 most common last names.
Yeah.
It is shockingly difficult to find one that you can buy. Forget about the price. It's shockingly difficult just to find one you can buy. Either it's already owned by Two Cows, Hover, you know, their naming platform. Or it's owned by a corporation, or it's owned by a family office, or it's owned by, you know, somebody that's, you know, recognized and resourced. You can't get them. You can't. You can't get them. I've tried many, many times.
And they're in years.
I make a list and I go out and I target a few hundred of these, and it's almost impossible to find them.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's good reason.
Yep.
In years.
Well, we shall see. You know, so this will be another one when you sell that name for a whole bunch of money, and then you get to be like, Braden said that I overpaid, and I think it was Braden. Maybe it was Braden. It was 2025 Braden, you know.
There's very few things 5 years later that you look back and say you overpaid. There are some.
Ask me again in 5 years. I'll be like, nah, that's
good. Yeah, still.
And that's the truth of it. That's the truth of it. And I think that trend or that fact or whatever you want to call it is only going to accelerate because the printer is going to keep going burr, and so the price, not the value, but the price of everything is just going to keep going up.
Everything that I sold for full retail 10 years ago, I would buy back at that price today.
Yeah, funny enough, I'm not going to talk about what the name was because it's still in escrow, but a name that I sold exactly 11 years ago for, I think I sold for 12 grand. And it is a four-letter CVCV. I sold it for 12 grand 11 years ago, and I just bought it back yesterday for 25. Okay. The company went under. I just happened to notice that the website was down, and I emailed the guy that I sold it to, and I said, hey, if you want to sell this, I'll give you 15. He came back. He said, 25, you got a deal, and I bought it back. And that's it. That's
and the 12 grand that you sold it for is probably like every bit of what it was worth, right?
At that time, yeah. I was happy with that sale. I remember thinking like, oh, this should be like 20. But I got 12 and I thought, I'll take 12.
Yeah.
And I probably bought it the first time for like $2,500.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's repeat, baby. Rinse, repeat.
So. Yeah. And every time I think about this, I think I shouldn't sell anything. Let me just wait 10 years.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. If I wasn't refueling my portfolio with those sales, I would say the exact same thing. Unfortunately, that's how I got my portfolio. I couldn't have bought the name I bought yesterday that I shouldn't, you know, it's just, but I agree with you. I look back at everything I sold and I go, I wish I'd just held everything I ever bought until today. And now I'll start selling.
You know, if you look at the wealthiest people in the world, if you look at the generational wealth, you know, the families that have created generational wealth, and you ask them, what's the secret? There's only one answer that is unanimous, and that is we don't sell. We never sell. We buy things that we want to hold forever. What does Warren Buffett say? I buy companies that I want to hold forever. I don't buy
until he sells them.
In investments, you know, you have to be reasonable. If the markets change, if conditions change, you know, you have to be willing to change your mind. But in general, buy, hold forever. The thing with domains, though, is that they don't really generate cash flow, especially now that Parkin's dead. You know, when these things generated cash flow, there was no reason to sell, right? Like, how did Frank Schilling build that portfolio? He just kept telling everybody, no, why would I sell?
Yep. That is true. Or if you get such, like on stocks, you get such low cost of entry. I mean, most of my net worth are from three things that I did for $5,000 25 years ago versus me flipping 500 names and going back and forth. Yeah. When I put 5,000 at Axon at $2 and now it's at, you know, 700, or my grandfather gave me $1,000 in Apple in 1984. Like, that's worth it more than anything I've ever done my whole life by one generous little gift. So yeah. If you look at it that way, it's better like buy something and go play. But, you know, that doesn't always work out like that. But if you can do both, that's where you set yourself up good, right?
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think, you know, we talk about it and Braden and obviously Drew, you know, you've talked about when to sell a name, right? And it's about, okay, this price might not be the top price or the best possible price, but, you know, and Shane referenced it earlier, talking about replaceability and continuing to build the portfolio. It's this idea of cycling the inventory to keep bringing in cash to buy more inventory and replacing names with other names and, you know, and that kind of thing. And, you know, and obviously that's an important piece, but it doesn't change the principle of buying a name based on the idea that, hey, this is a fantastic asset. So I'm going to buy it without the idea that I need to sell it or that I'm going to sell it in some short window, unless it's a really trendy kind of name. But the idea of buying quality things and holding until you really feel like it's the right time to sell.
But I think as domainers, we've talked about this in past shows, we do need to feel something every once in a while, right? There's a lot of gaps in between, and a lot of us don't have any other things going on. Yeah. I found my most successful period, a lot of people say, well, you lean in and you go through the data and you find out everything about domain investing. No, you can do that and run a business, and you probably sell for higher prices because you're working on this business and you're just bypassing anything that doesn't make sense. When that's all you do, you're like, that's a little lower than I want to take, but I'm going to take it because I want to feel some money coming in and I want to buy some more. You know, it's almost like you do a couple actions to feel something or buy a name to feel something when you shouldn't have, but that's because there's too much gap in time.
Yeah. All this said, though, I will say, and I've said before, we had a whole monologue about it, that I wouldn't be in the position I'm in if I hadn't been doing that turning and burning on the way up. Okay. Mm-hmm. To get to where I am, I had nothing. So I had to fucking turn and burn every chance I get. Sorry, that was another arbitrary F-bomb. But I had to turn and burn to get where I am. I had to take the offers that came in and 100%. Turn it into another name. And, you know, and so, you know, everything's relative to where you are at in life, where you're at financially. But once you do have the means and once you do have the portfolio, it really is hard to argue with that kind of perspective of like, if you look back every 10 years, you're going to regret everything you sold.
Yeah. But you have to hustle in the beginning. All of it, not JT, he's a lawyer, but everybody else, Braden and you.
Different
and I.
Kind of hustle.
I
Yeah. For lawyers, it's the opposite. Lawyers, it's called job security. Work as slow as possible, as being efficient as possible.
Well, I mean, he's a magician. He worked 40 hours.
Contractors and lawyers.
Hey, man, you know, that was the hardest part about coming over, you know, in-house and then working for Drew is like, oh, hey, you know, you can't slow walk everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you actually got to get shit done. There's no benefit in things taking longer. No, I'm playing.
It was, and like I said, you can't bill 50 hours and only work 30. It doesn't work like that,
man. You know, like, that's what you told. It's why, you know, having multiple clients is also helpful. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I actually remember, though, this was a thing, because you do take ethics classes as part of law school, right? And everyone always thinks that's a bit of an oxymoron. But I remember the thing about billing, right? You're really not allowed to bill two clients for the same work, even though technically it might be, right? Like, let's say you have two clients in a similar situation and the memo is similar, or you're flying and traveling to go to a hearing, right? And you're on the plane and you're like, all right, well, let me just knock out this other thing for this other client while I'm flying. And you're technically not allowed to do that. You know, and I don't know if the rules have relaxed or whatever, but it's interesting.
That's a weird
Hill says you get caught.
Well, you get caught because you literally bill more hours than exist. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so you in this 1,000 hour period, you build 1,200 hours. That's crazy. How'd you do that? But one other thing I'll say too, we talk about it a lot on the show, you know, the cycling of inventory, being able to drum up, you know, take advantage of opportunities to, you know, continue to build a portfolio. And especially early in the early days of any domain investor, you've more likely than not got to really, like, you know, you got to generate cash early. But holding, yeah, I mean, I say it a lot, like for Bitcoin, for example, like had I bought Bitcoin when it was like 50 cents, yeah, I would have never held it to $125,000, right? I would have sold it at fucking 75 cents. You know, like my only way.
That's because you lettuce hands.
yeah, but I'm just, well, I'm saying for me and others, right? It's a perspective. It's like, I've always said, like, my best way I could have ever gotten like ridiculously rich off of like crypto would be like, it has to be on a wallet that I like lose and I have to go find in the landfill years later. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like, okay, cool. Now I'm going to cash this out. But best believe I'm cashing out as soon as I find it in that garbage dump. You know what I mean? So, you know, easy to say, hey, just buy and have these diamond hands. But, you know, it takes mental fortitude. It's kind of back to what we said in the beginning about the idea of like attitude is latitude. You know, mental fortitude, these kinds of things. It applies in so many ways. Be patient, mentally tough. Like that shit extends beyond sports.
And that's
athletics.
My partnership with my wife. I will say the partnership my wife has allowed me to do that, because I'm a gambling MF-er. Like,
you're
there's
a
no doubt.
Baby.
So I give her, you know, a set amount, and she does the old put it in the IRA, put it in the stock market, don't touch it for 30 years, build the family. Meanwhile, I look over, I've been hustling all these times, and I've got whatever, a couple million dollars. I look at her, and she's stacking like eight figures. Because she's doing it the right way. Put it away, leave it alone, keep working. If you combine the two, you have a really good opportunity to be safe and do well. But you always have that on the other side that keeps you, you know, keeps it the slow, you know, slow, yeah. That chance of 50 cents to 100,000.
So you need that infusion in your life.
Yeah, she doesn't need that.
You got any more of that liquidity? You got any more of that liquid?
No, that's exactly. I'm like, did you see that liquidity pool? It's paying 800%. She's like, yeah, I just stacked 12% times 30 years. I'm fine. I'm like,
yeah, she's like, I'm good. You know. Yeah. But anyway, all right. Well, good stuff. Let's keep it moving. I think we're only one name into the domain game. So
yeah, let's go.
Brayden, it is on you. What is good?
Okay. Here's a name I just sold on Friday. Today being Tuesday, so a few days ago, I sold Since.com. S-I-C-E. Since.
Okay. You haven't sold a name since Friday.
I haven't sold a name since Friday.
Since. That's a weird name. That's a weird name.
It's definitely a weird name.
Since.com. Since. It's even weird. Since.com.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a word you ever
get. I can't believe for the first time.
It's like a very strange word to use in a vacuum, since.
Yeah. Well, you know what are also words like that?
I agree.
The utensils, word, knife, fork, spoon, all weird words to say, like, you know, by themselves.
I completely disagree with you. Knife.com is a great brand. Fork.com is a
because it means
brand.
Knife, but the word itself,
you know,
is
I mean,
kind of weird.
Fork is like one of the most popular restaurant review sites in the world. The spoon. Look,
we're talking about it based on different things. I'm saying the words themselves. Brand. I'm saying the words themselves are weird.
Now, you know, Billy, just cut out. Because JC
cut it. Hey, I'll stand behind it. You know what I'm saying?
Double down on stupid. That's great.
Spoon. I mean, they're great brands, but I'm saying they're weird words.
Just squint your head.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Since.com.
Since.com. Ready? Right. 1, 2, 3.
All right. So Drew is at 125,369. Shane's at 240,000. I'm at 350,000.
Nice little increments there. $110,000 increments.
It's interesting that they're $110,000 increments because I sold it for exactly $110,000.
Boom! That's me, baby.
Oh, shit. That's crazy. Okay.
So Drew takes it. That was my bin, which right. I've raised it over the years, but somebody just hit the buy now. Well, they call with a question, but they paid full price. I've had this name for 12 years.
Wow.
And I paid $8,500 for it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I knew it's the kind of name that you would only pay 10 grand or less. It's one of those names. I've got 20, 30 of these oneword.coms, you know, that are just sort of like, I guess I'll take it because I could probably get my money back on Dropcatch or NameJet or something, but it's like a flyer. It's a punt. And,
It's a weird word. However, I've gotten a lot of action. I've gotten a lot of offers over the years on this name.
And yeah, do you know who the buyer is? Do you know what they're going to use it for?
I don't.
You're sure it's what since.com will be.
Somebody offered me 50, I think, like a month ago.
Probably the same buyer.
No, it was a different buyer. Different buyer. I think it was an investor. But I've gotten a number of offers over the years, and so I was just like, I'm gonna hold.
Just call one of the booths. And I called James Booth. It was probably him. Fuck around and who the real buyer was.
Right.
He somehow figured out that this guy was gonna be showing up. I'll tell you what. There's nobody in the world with better timing of knowing who is about to buy a domain.
Yeah.
But however he does it, he just knows who's about to buy a domain. He gets out in front of it.
So I actually, when that offer came in at 50 and it was an investor, I thought, you know, maybe 110 is too low now. Maybe I should raise it again because I haven't raised it in a few years. And I forgot about it, even though I was thinking about raising it. And then somebody pulled the trigger on it. So, but, you know, it's a decent return. So I can't complain too much.
Nope. 10 years, 10x. Well, more than 10x.
I've got one of those names, Begun. Like, it's not begin.com, it's begun.com. And it's...
Mm-hmm. I remember that was recent, right?
Yeah, I think I bought it last year or something. But I get offers on it all the time that are double or triple what I paid, but it's not anywhere what I'm asking. But it is one of those odd names. It's past tense, but it's, you know, it's one of those.
Yeah, I think I bid on that name too. It was on auction, I believe.
Well, we say it on the show a lot. Not all oneword.coms are created equal. So, you know, I think those are, you know, very interesting in that, you know, sort of the temporal, like, timing and sort of how are they used in a commercial context in a way that'll really make sense, you know, because they're kind of like a weird sort of tense of the particular name. So,
or just words that just don't have commercial value. Do you remember when tenement.com was going around?
Mm-hmm.
Esther, he pitched all of us, right?
Yeah.
Almost like, why would you buy, who's going to use that? Like, it's all negative. There's like maybe a museum might want it, like a tenant museum, but otherwise that's.
And I haven't used it in vocabulary in 20 years. Like, if I haven't used it somewhere in my vocabulary, it's.
All I think about is like the Bob Marley song, Tenement Yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, negatively connotated. I'm not even 100% sure how to spell it. But man, but if you got the plural though, you know what I'm saying? anyway. All right. Well, good stuff. Drew gets the point. Let's keep it moving. That was actually pretty ironic though about the 110, and then that's what you sold it for. You know what I'm saying? That was pretty funny. Yeah. All right, Shane, what you got, man? You got a buy? You got to sell?
I thought I sold something on Adam. An email came up, and I go, I'm going to switch it up. And then I saw it's a buy or miss payment.
Oh, shit. It's like that. That was a roller coaster of emotions.
I was like, oh, man. Like, when I get an alert from Adam, I get excited when it's not payment time. Yeah, I'll go with a buy. Oh, hold on, I just got another message. I bought an odd one, but a name I like. Agenix, A-G-E.
Oh, you that dude. It
was you, huh?
Oh, so you guys know?
Yeah. No. Well, I don't know exactly, because once I make up my mind, I stop watching. But I know.
Well, at least I feel good that other people were interested in it.
Directionally. I actually, we'll find out exactly what you paid, but I actually think it's a great name. Ton of end users.
That's what I was going to say. The use case, when I started looking, I was like,
ton of end users.
Yeah. So are we going with that one for the game? Braden, do you know what he paid for it?
No, I have no idea. I just saw it, but it's in the pricing.
So it's A-G-E-N-I-C-S, Agenix?
N-I-X.
X. I-X. Oh.
Age-N-I-X.
A-G-E-N-I-X.
Now I can find out Drew's username.
You don't know my username by now?
Not. Where was that? That was Go. No, where was it?
No, GoDaddy, there's no usernames.
No, where was that? Where'd I?
It was Dropcatch.
Oh, Dropcatch. That's right. Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Flip it. All right. So Drew is at 5,899. I'm at 10,000. And Braden is at 15,000.
Drew got a freebie because he was in it. It was 5,300.
Ah, okay. All right.
Oh, wow. Did I think I backed out at like 5?
Mm-hmm.
So well, you got a freebie there. I'll tell you, this is a
game I play, and I don't know if it psychologically works or not, but I don't have any proxies at all. When there's two people bidding it up, at the very last minute, I'd step in and add that third name where other people go, fuck, like, this must be a new guy, like, that was waiting, or an NU. I don't know. To me, I hate it when I'm bidding against somebody else and then a third party comes in and adds to it.
Yeah. Because you lose hope.
You lose hope. So
the key to every battle is to make the other party lose hope.
Yeah. So those guys were battling for like $2,000, and then I step in. They were at like 4,800, and I stepped it to 5,300, and it just kind of ended. Like, nobody else came back after going for hours. You know how it extends to 5 minutes. That's a
great pickup. That name has a ton of end users. I actually did a little digging on it, and the only reason I didn't buy it is because I literally have just bought so many domains in the last couple of weeks. And I just, at some point, I was just like,
it's so diverse. Like, it's AI, it's pharmacy. When I looked at the quality of end users,
there's a lot of end users and a lot of just, you know, no like monsters, but a lot of great mid-market companies that are going to pay you. Probably you're going to get, you know, 50 grand, 75 grand for that.
Yeah. That's what I was. I like, how easy could I get a 10?
You could get a six figure. You could get six figures for that.
And I'll be asking that, of course, and then we'll work it down. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations, Drew. Good work on the domain game. You took home the trophy. Although, you know, I don't know. Like, if I cared more, I think I'd be, you know, maybe trying to get a review here, because it's like a little bit, you know, sort of a little bit funky. But, you know, at the same time, it's your show. So congratulations.
I was transparent. I said I was in the auction. I didn't see the end. I actually expected it went more. I kind of thought it might have gone for like $7,000 or $8,000, but I know I backed down in the high 4,000s or right around 5. And so, you know, I just took a shot.
Yeah. No, and I think it's a good buy. I think it's a cool name. I still feel all right about the price of the 10 Gs that I threw out there, although it didn't win. But all good. Congratulations, Drew. You'll get some swag. In
hey, you better bring some swag to NamesCon.
I gotta actually call my guy today to get the order going, so that way I can bring.
Yeah, there's no excuses. It's close. You can bring boxes.
Oh, I gotta bring a bunch of stuff for Drew. He's got to take home. So it's like I got plenty of shit that's being delivered to my house.
Since sales have been a little slow the last couple of weeks, can I set up a booth and sell some of this stuff?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, you know, we had a sale fall through. You're like, is it cool? I'm just gonna, you know, we're gonna start selling Sherpa swag.
$50 for a hat? That sounds crazy.
$50 for a t-shirt?
So, what was that anyway? Yeah.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
All right, let's keep it moving, though, because we got the NameJet and a Jet segment sponsored by NameJet. We review a list of domains coming up for auction, see what the Sherpas like, what they don't like. You could go to the Domain Sherpa post for this episode, and in the show notes, we got the link where you can, we got the list of domains linked. We also have the Excel spreadsheet. It's got a bunch of helpful information, so get your learn on, not financial advice and all that good stuff, but, you know, some stuff to maybe help you all get involved if you know, some of these are potential opportunities for anybody. So so with that, we got this list. Let's go ahead, Braden. Let's kick it to you and see what you think, man. What's good?
Well, rbf.com is obviously a solid name, good store of value. It's three decent letters. I like the name Venstar. It's been used a bunch of times over the years by different companies. I used to have a vending business, and I had these bulk candy machines, and they were called Venstar.
Really?
Yeah, of course. How was that?
Do you not do that vending machine business anymore? I've heard it's great business.
It's in the so I started that business. I'm 54. I started that business when I was 22, 23. So 30 years ago. And
it was a youngin.
Yeah. And I mean, it was it grew to a pretty sizable business. I mean, I had like cold food machines and snack machines and sort of machines and stuff. I had them in department store and factory lunchrooms. And I mean, I had employees, I had vans, that whole thing. And it is still around. I gave the company to my sister and her husband. First I gave it to my dad. 20 years ago, and I gave it to my sister about 10, 12 years ago when my dad passed away. And so they still run it, and it's called Vendrite. Still run it, and you know.
Oh, wait. Hey, maybe they want to rebrand Venstar. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. So I don't think it's worth a lot of money, but it's just to me it's kind of
brand out there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a good brand for vending business, but it's just not going to fetch much.
This is one of those names you pick up on nostalgia and it sits in your portfolio till you die.
Yeah. Till I die. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. I got so much nostalgia in my portfolio.
Me too. Okay, I'll do one more. And Hoagie. Hoagie.com, I think.
It's a
brand. So
Hoagies and Grinders.
Yeah, that's all I can think of is that Adam Sandler song. But they don't call it hoagie everywhere. What do they call it in LA? Is it hoagie subs? Like, what are they?
I guess it's
hoagie's got to be like a New York thing, no?
Yeah, well, Northeast, I think. You know, they call them hoagies in.
We're out from the grinder.
Okay.
You know, Italian grinder. You get it. Italian grinder.
Like the app grinder?
Exactly.
Kind of like that.
you need to get some meat. That's, you know, you need some meat.
You get a little meat.
That's where you get your hoagies on Grindr.
Yeah. I feel like hoagie, Grindr, sub, like Grindr's probably my, you know, I think ranked third on the list. You know what I'm saying? If you're talking about what's the best name for a sandwich, you know, but
well, only because of the weird gay dating app, you know what I'm saying? But like Grindr's a great, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's go get a Grindr. You know what I'm saying? That's what we, you know.
This is going to be the first of three conversations.
Yeah.
Anyway, but all good. All good. All right. So it is kind of a cool little name. All right. Well, sounds good, Shane. What about you, man? What do you like? What don't you like?
Yeah, I'll be honest, not as good as last show that I was on. Had a really good list. So, but I'm sure after three shows in 3 weeks, you've worked through the.
I said that. Yeah, this is actually week four in a row of Domain Sherpa reviews. And
pull out names.
The fact that we're still getting names out the list is actually shout out to NameJet. It shows that there's still some pretty good names roll through there and some decent volume. But
yeah. So I think he hit it right with the RBF and Hoagie were my two favorite out of the gate. But working out, I think I think like builder tools probably will have some value to somebody building out, but it's not going to have a lot of it. But I do think that the agent tools and building tools and vibe coding tools, I think that market's getting bigger and bigger. Although I do think they're going to go with some of the names we talked about earlier, cooler names. So that might be a bit too generic. So kind of talk my way out of that one. I'll talk about why I don't like rehabilitating. Obviously a huge category, super $1 trillion industry with aging and injury, but everybody says rehab or everybody has some other care name. They're just not going to use rehabilitating as a brand of any sense. So those are the names I run from. I tell other people not to buy it just because I don't think it has too much value. The one you put up there for me is localgrowers.com. So I'll go ahead and eat it once you
thank you.
Again, it's not going to have much value except to build out. When I look at a name where I see the value is the building out with the name, that just makes a name less valuable. Doesn't mean it's not a great name with a build out, but local growers will have to spend money putting local plants that you want and who's growing it within a radius of you. So it's going to take a lot of work to make that domain of value, and it'll work well together, right? That's a great name if you want to find a plant and then find who's near me to buy that plant. That's something people do every single day, but that's a build out and that's where all the money. So that's why the Estabot's so low for that.
Sure.
Same with surveillance cameras, Blink and billions of dollars, and we're just getting too generic in all those names. And there's a lot more of them on this list today. And generic is not where it's at this point in time.
Okay. And Drew, what about you?
I think we've hit the obvious. I'll throw out a few more. I think careeradvice.org is actually a good name. That's the kind of field where SEO still is king. And,
Blink is really good for that too.
Yeah. And, .org works well. So I think careeradvice.org is a decent little name. Probably a great spread. And that's at the end of the day, I say this all the time. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the most valuable name on the list. I'm looking for the name where I can get the biggest spread and the highest sell-through rate. Right. And so I think Career Advice has a lot of market opportunity. And I think you can probably pick that up for a very low price and probably sell it for a reasonable price. Like, let's say 10 to 15 grand. And so if you can pick that up for a grand or less, or maybe even 2,500 grand or less, 2,500 bucks, and you can, I'm fairly confident you find a buyer for that name, especially if you do a little outbound in the 10, 12, 15 grand range. So I like Career Advice. I think that's probably got a great, ROI on here. And I really like Corio. Corio, I don't know. Again, I don't know that it's got enormous value. It's definitely like speculative and it's a punt, but it's not that easy to find great little 5-letter, 6-letter, easy to pronounce, easy to spell brands. Doesn't have to mean anything. Although Corio probably does mean something in Italian or in Spanish or something.
Well, correr is to run, to move.
Yeah.
So.
But I think with two R's, no?
And that's why I didn't like it as much as it exudes movement and running to me, but you're exactly right. It would be the double R's.
Yeah.
And people will think that when they spell it, honestly.
Yeah. But it's a 5-letter, easy to spell, easy to pronounce. Little brand, and I think that has value in and of itself. I don't doesn't have to mean anything in particular. I think you probably pick that up for $2,500 or less, probably under $2,000, if I had to guess. And, you know, just type an AMI price for $25,000. So, you know, or maybe 25, 30, 35, something in that range. And so, again, much lower, let's say, probability of a quick turnaround on that name, but it's the kind of name for, you know, a grand or two, I don't mind sticking in my portfolio long term, because there's always somebody out there looking for a brand, and it's getting increasingly harder and harder to find them. And so for that price, I think it's a, I think it's a buy.
And
you know, surveillance cameras, I'm with you. It's very long. It's very hard to spell. But there is some SEO benefit to having it. And there's lots of companies in the business, and probably one of them. If you were in it, the key is you got to buy that name cheap. If you can get that name for cheap, meaning a couple of grand, under five, I think you can find some. I think you find an end user that buys that name from you. If they're in the surveillance business, they buy that name from you for 25. You know, somebody's out there that says, yeah, sure, I'll take a punt. I want to own it. I'll, you know, let my ego get a hold of me, and I'll pay $25,000 and buy surveillancecameras.com. So I think I agree with everything you said, but you know, if you can buy it right, there's some margin sure. on it.
Well, we say it on the show all the time. You make the money on the buy, not necessarily.
What's RBF? I feel like RBF just sounds so familiar to me.
But here's the thing about, this is a great part about NameJet, is if you look at the age, these haven't been for sale, most likely. At 30 years old.
Okay, that's it.
So if somebody wanted surveillance cameras, they didn't really probably get a chance to buy it. So you are getting first shot. If somebody that wanted to buy some of these things, you'll be the first person that actually has a chance to sell it. So I don't think RBF, my guess, there's no way someone bought it and kept it at Network Solutions if they bought it before. It's probably first time light of day. Most likely. I mean, we could do some research, but you know, like Venstar.
You Google RBF and the first thing that comes up is resting bitch face.
That's pretty funny. But I think you make a really good point, Shane. And this goes back to what Drew said earlier about Tori.com, is that names that have never been available in the market before, you know, and yeah, you know, Monty says that a lot in the names con auctions. And, you know, and I think it also goes back to, we used to run, you know, some of the analytics when I ran NameJet to see like just the price differential between auction, like expiring names versus third party seller names. And now some of it was because third party seller names would have reserves. But, you know, and it's tough to quantify because, you know, each name is unique and everything. But the you know, names would sell for more money for sure if they were either a drop or an expiring domain. Same exact name would sell for 30% more, 40% more. You know, I mean, it was really like to the point that sellers. And
is it really that probably, much?
What's that?
Really, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The delta was pretty significant.
Back in the day, when I was, you know, probably one of the top 3-4 sellers on NameJet. And it would drive me nuts. I was trying to push this guy. You know, unfortunately never took the advice of like, yo, don't differentiate. Can you just put them all as the same? You know, don't say, oh, this one's a drop or this one's a private listing. Like, just put it out there. It's an auction. What are, you know, let people buy it. Let them do their own diligence.
That's how I built my portfolio. And Steve Brown was the manager. Wait, you know, he was the very first guy. He let us put them in mixed in. So I was killing it. Because
in those early days, that's what it was.
Well, you got to be willing to do it at no reserve. But yes, like, and this was the point I was going to say, Drew and other early, you know, big time sellers on the platform would be like, hey, let me just put my stuff in as expiry, you know? And
well, it wasn't even that we were trying to like say, oh, this is expiry. We were just trying to say
it's all the same. Yeah.
Either like the name or you don't.
Yeah, because, you know, and a lot of it was because people look at it for a few things. One, it's, you know, something that hasn't been available in the past. Two, it's the idea that if it's a domain owner name, then it's been probably pitched and pushed and, you know, and it's traded hands a couple of times and, you know, maybe there's more hair on it, or at least like, you know, that it's been, you know, kind of like, you know, again, pushed out to the market so much that, you know, that takes away some of that new car smell. Right. And
new car smell on an expired 30-year-old name. Sifter down.
Barn fine is a better analogy. It's a barn fine.
There you go. All right, fair enough. I'm just saying, though, but it, you know, but that was a real thing. And so it's just interesting. And I do think that there is value for these names that have not been available. And again, Drew, you brought it up yourself with Tori. You know, I think that's all, you know, we say it a lot again about when you talk about a name like Corio. This is what I think is interesting, because this touches on something that Shane alluded to, which is, you know, generics versus brands, right? Brandable domains have more value now than a lot of generics. You know, parking is not the same. Search continues to evolve and change. You know, the branding is key. Corio seems to have some decent sort of use. It seems like it's the last name. There's a couple other companies. There's a restaurant in Philly. Like, there's definitely some stuff where that name is a brand and it is kind of like a cool little name. You know, which
you can't
get a
trademark on the other ones either. Like, you can't get a trademark on any generics. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like,
that's also another
I've said this
point.
A couple of times, but I tried to get anything plant related on botany, lost all my trademarks, all five of them, because botany is plants. Why you can't trademark plants, take that away from everybody. So you're not going to brand or get a trademark for surveillance cameras that have anything to do with surveillance cameras. You no. can't under the category.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, I think that's a very good point. Unless it's like the booking.com type of situation, right?
And even well, the booking's a little different. Booking is not, if you were to do
I could book a charter, I could book a hotel, I can book a flight, I can book, booking can be many, many things.
Yeah. When you start.
Whatever. Lots of things.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair point. And then, but one last thing, you kind of talk about, Drew, you mentioned how you're buying for spread, right? So does that jive with the idea of buying like really strong domains without really the, you know, kind of the Warren Buffett model, you know, like, so Warren Buffett is buying what he sees as value in general, right? But with no intent to sell anytime soon.
I mean, I guess so you have different, you have momentum investors, right? And I would say like everybody investing in .ai right now, that's a momentum investment, right? .ai has momentum. They're chasing that momentum. The problem with that is that at some point that momentum stops and then you're left holding a bag that will then have a much slower, lower STR than your expectation at the time you're making the investment if you continue to hold on. I'm a value investor, whether it's stocks or anything else, I'm a value investor. I'm not looking to buy the hottest, greatest thing at the moment. I want to buy the things that everybody hates, that I believe everybody will come to love later, right? So I'm seeing value where others aren't, not always. Sometimes I'm seeing dog shit and thinking it's value. But for the most part, I'm looking to find value where others are think it's boring or others, you know, others are overlooking it, right? Like, and that's not always obvious. In the case of Tori that we discussed, right? These guys don't think that that's a value investment. I think it's a value investment, but it's only because of the perspective I have on, let's say, the namespace or the markets in which I think Tori can be sold. And so, you know, when, the perfect example is Warren Buffett's investment into Apple. Everybody made fun of Warren Buffett for not investing into Apple because they said, oh, you don't understand technology. He said, I don't understand technology. And he ignored Apple for a very long time. He could have owned it much, much, much cheaper. But it was the moment when he understood what the future opportunity could be on Apple that he invested. And it turned out he was right. From the moment he invested until the moment he exited, I think he's almost fully out of Apple at this point. He made a massive return. Massive. And so he perceived value that others had ignored. And the people that were chasing Apple before that perceived value, or they were perceived momentum, or they, you know, whatever. Everybody has a different reason for investing. I'm a value investor. I'm looking for value that others are ignoring.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking for spread, whether I'm buying a name for $400 or $400,000. I'm looking to get a 10x, and it doesn't matter what the price point is, as long as that margin is there.
Yeah.
And mine's a little different. I'm looking for spread at the lower names, and I'm looking for profit dollars at the upper names, right? So I know I probably won't get the same spread if I spend 50 grand or 20 grand or 100 grand, but the profit dollars will be there. And so that's, I kind of change it up the higher it gets.
Yeah, Rick Schwartz had a post yesterday or the day before about this. You know, he had a picture of him with the guy that he bought men.com from. I think he paid 100 grand to buy men.com, and then he sold it for 1 or 2 million. And the guy that he bought it from said, hey, I had a way higher return on investment than you did. You know, he registered it probably for $100 and he sold it for 100 grand. That's a, you know, whatever that is, 1,000,000% return on investment. No, it's more than 1,000. 1,000 would be a 10x.
1,000%. Yeah, not 1,000. Yeah,
I think it's a million.
But it was 1,000x return, right? I mean, that's a thing.
1,000x return, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is 1,000,000%, right?
Gotcha.
So that guy had 1,000,000% return. But Rick Schwartz made millions of dollars, right? And so that guy made 99 grand, but it was 1,000,000% return. Rick Schwartz made, you know, $1 million or $2. But it was a 10x or a 20x, right? So, you know, on the bigger names, as Shane alluded to, I also tend to think about that. If I think I'm going to turn a name pretty quickly and I buy something for 50 grand, 100 grand, 200 grand, 300 grand, but I think I'm going to very quickly turn 200 grand into, you know, 500 grand in a year, or 200 grand into a million in 2 or 3 years, I'll still take that investment, even though it's not the 10x I really am looking for, like Braden.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always say that I pay my bills in profit, right? Yeah, I don't pay nobody asks me what my return is when I'm paying my mortgage. They pay it.
Especially the IRS. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. And we had a problem at the nursery. My dad's a margin guy. Like, if you make your margins, you'll make your money. Yeah. The problem is there's value that doesn't come across in a spreadsheet. So if you're buying something and putting and then pricing everything by margin, and you buy that product half as much and then price it with margin, you're going to make less money. If you make a good buy, you can still keep the original price. You change your margins. You don't just set everything by margin. So there is an art to pricing all of this, and everybody's got their own way, and everybody here has proven that it works for them. So, but it profit dollars pay the bills is what I always say. You get your margins, I'll make my money, and we'll probably
be fine. Now, if you're borrowing money from the bank or otherwise, then your margin suddenly becomes very important, right? If you're working on a 9% margin, a 12% margin, but you're paying the bank 7 or 8%, you're gonna have a real hard time covering your overhead.
Yeah, no, there's a reason we have margin, right? That's how you measure everything. But again, that being said, you hope to price on margin, and you hope to get a better buy also. Like, then you can really, really squeeze it. So it's just it's paying attention to the value of the domain and getting the most out of it. Sometimes you'll get that margin, sometimes you won't. Then we all talked about this whole show of where we took less, and then there's other time we stuck to it because we knew the value was where it's at.
Boom.
That's it.
Yeah, man. Ooh. All right. Well, good stuff. All right. Well, with that, that's Name Jet Gonna Jet. Thanks, guys, for running through the list. And then let's close out with our grand closing. Shane, I'll actually start with you. If there's anything else that we haven't talked about that you feel like putting in the universe.
No, I'm looking forward to coming down to Miami. It'll be I need some sun. Although we've had a warm Midwest, man, it's been 70s and 80s, literally still today. So it's not like I'm getting some warmth like a normal Miami. But I'm looking forward to going down there. It'll be nice to see everybody again in person and talk domains and go to that after party and have people spill their guts after drinking a couple beers and tell us things they'd never tell us. It's my favorite part about it. I hear all the latest gossip of what's going on truly behind the scenes. It won't come through an email. So I look forward to that. And I'm going to keep running.
That's it, man. Keep running, baby.
Back up the horse.
Let's go.
Keep running. And again, I'll brag about my daughter. My daughter ran a 17:45 5K. So I was living through, you know, how you live through your kids. Yeah. And like my sub six. It's good. you know, it's good. We have our kids, but we want to do things. Like when we teach them, we want them to build a life as an adult where they enjoy certain things. And we have them go to piano lessons and we have music and we have all these things. And you hope when they get to adult that they just do it for fun. And it's really nice to see she turns 26 this year, to see her enjoying the things that I hoped that she would enjoy when I was raising her. So that's what I'm enjoying this fall, is watching my daughter become a smart, intelligent woman. That's something I'll always lean on, regardless how everything else goes.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. You know, my older kid, my younger son challenged my older kid and said, you know, you can't run a 6-minute mile, you know? And then, so they went out and turned on the treadmill, and he did 5:15. Is what he ran.
Whoa, he's got to get off the treadmill. We don't count treadmills and running. You get on the track.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I'm not going out with this.
When on the street, you know, you have to propel yourself forward. On a treadmill, it's moving below you. Right?
Look, well, he's not a runner. You know, this was literally good.
Doran and I were talking about it. Like, that's how you get your kids to do things, is you bribe them. Like when the brother challenges them, or you tell them, I'll take you to go get a piece of cake if you can run this. And Doran's daughter's like running 4 miles because she knows she's about to go get ice cream afterwards. I love it.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, it is. It's Drew says,
good point. I got to come up with a good incentive, because I just literally last night, I told my son, I said, that's it. You know, you just turned 9. By the time you're 10, you need to be able to do 10 clean pull-ups all the way down, all the way up.
Now you got to bribe them. He'll be doing 20.
Yeah. Well, Drew says it all the time. Like, you know, show me the incentives and I'll show you the outcome. So that's what it comes down to. It's what's going to motivate them. And, you know, but man, pull-ups, you know, that sucks for him. You know, that's going to be the thing you're going to push him on.
Well, you know, like, I don't think there's a single exercise that really demonstrates, you know.
Now, are you over it, like hands like this or hands like that?
I actually don't care. If you have if you've got the bicep grip, then that's really it's a chin up. But pull up is hands forward, palms forward. But I'm okay either way. I'm indifferent.
I can't wait to see Braden in Miami to see, he looked pretty damn good at ICA. I can't wait to see how strong he's going to look in Miami, man. He might not have a shirt on the whole conference. He'll just be shirtless the entire way.
Or wife beater, you know what I'm saying?
This detox thing, I'm only 14 days into it, and I'm blown away at what a difference it's making on my physiology. Like, I'm getting leaner. I'm making a joke before about my complexion, but I'm actually not joking. Like, it literally is like my skin is like, I don't know.
Glowing?
Like, he starts going to the bathroom looking for the shadows on your abs. Like you look right. Like, well, look at that.
It's all about the lighting.
Your wife will tell you, I don't see anything. You're like, hold on, turn the light this way.
You're looking at wrong angle.
Detox, so it was caffeine, right? Alcohol, some other stuff. You know what I mean?
You're basically just turning into Braden is all you're telling us.
Yeah. Braden's been right this whole time. Is that basically what the deal is?
No. Stop it. I'm trying to figure it out. Don't give him that. Come on.
All right. Well, no doubt. All right. So, Braden, what about you, man?
But I do eat like Braden. I mean, other than I eat fish and seafood, because I do believe that DHA and the
eat Braden love, like they say.
And the fatty acids are just too important. And I just love it so much. I'd rather die. But other than that, I mean, I pretty much
spoken like a true addict. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care. No, but I do think, obviously, you're talking
about. Well, I think vegan plus fish seafood is probably
pescatarian.
Pescatarian.
I don't even know what you call that.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you call it. That's not coffee.
Like the pigeonhole. But, you know, I eat eggs. I think, you know, you can't replace the choline in an egg. There's no other for it, and there's no other place to get that. So I think eggs and fish plus, you know, a strong plant-based diet is it's the healthiest you can be.
Eat Braden, baby.
Or not. Who knows? Who knows?
So, Braden, what about you, dog?
I'm in 6 days. I'm on a plane to Dubai. So I'm looking forward to Domain Days in Dubai. It's been a good conference. and it's going to be bigger this
year. Things. A
lot of people are coming up to work.
I would go.
I mean, it's a few hundred people, and you know, you get people from that part of the world that don't necessarily come out to the U.S. Plus, there's the whole Dubai contingency, right? I mean, there's a bunch of folks, you know, very, very active full-time investors that live in Dubai because they don't like paying taxes.
Yep.
So it'll be nice to see all of them. So we got a bunch of dinners planned, and that's good. And then I'm going to go from there. I'm going to go to Saudi and visit a buddy of mine.
Very cool.
I've never been to Saudi. I'm looking
forward. Neither. And I'm eager to go check it out. I mean, Riyadh is booming.
That's where I'm going. Yeah.
That whole Red Sea area. I was just talking to a friend, and they have basically declared that they want to officially compete directly with the Maldives. And so that whole Red Sea area of the of Saudi is going to be the largest hospitality project in the history of the world. I think they're building something like 240 hotels or something.
All of them,
5- and 6-star hotels. There's going to be like 6 Aman hotels. There's going to be like, I don't know how many Six Senses. Right now, you basically just have 1 Six Senses. I think you have a 4 Seasons. More or less, that's it. There's some other hotels, but not big name brands, I think. And but you're going to have like, they built an entire brand new, unbelievably beautiful airport just for this.
The largest airport in the world. It is 77,000 acres.
Yeah.
So great.
So anyway, Saudi booming. Absolutely booming.
And yep. What do you do there? I mean, other than sightsee, like what's the game plan?
Get your mosque on.
I don't know. I mean, there's some, you know, we're going to
just to see the city is always worth.
I'm going to see it and see these massive multi-billion-dollar projects. And then there's some place he wants to take me that's like a plane ride somewhere that's supposed to be beautiful. So
probably the Red Sea.
Ask me again in a few weeks.
Yeah.
How long? Well, the Riyadh's not close to the Red Sea, though, right? Like, I mean,
You got to fly. You fly. So first, until very recently, you had to fly into Riyadh and then fly to the Red Sea. But now, as they're starting to ramp up, as some of these hotels are coming online, they're starting to open up direct flights directly to whatever that airport is at the Red Sea. So I think they got Paris and London, and they're about to open up like Madrid, and they're going to open up a whole bunch of others. But I think there's only like maybe 2, let's say, Western direct flights to that airport, but there will be soon, basically, you know, everywhere. Direct flights.
Really want to fly in closed cities because it's so hot, where you're like, you're literally not even outside. You're just in this giant.
I saw that project where it's like a literally walking down a town, but it's all in a dome.
It's in a dome. And then they're building Hyperloops. You know, Elon Musk is out there with Hyperloops. So you still aren't outside.
He acquired Hyperloop.com for him, like literally 15 years ago.
What's that?
Reacquired Hyperloop.com for him, like, I don't even know, 15 years ago.
Yeah, nice. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
All right. Well, good stuff. All right, cool. And then, Drew, what about you?
I am excited to come to NapeCon. I think, you're going to have a lot of the OGs that we haven't seen for a long time. They're going to show up. I think it's going to be great. It's just, I'm so happy it's back in Miami, and not back in Miami, but that we have a domain conference back in Miami. And I'm super excited. What should we expect for weather, JT?
It should be pretty nice. I mean, it's been kind of rainy. Like, it was really dry and beautiful for a few weeks, and then the last week or so has been kind of rainy just with some of the storm stuff that's just like kind of messing around in the Atlantic.
But
if the weather holds like with what is typical for this time of year, then it should be kind of ideal. You know, it's not going to be crazy hot, shouldn't be crazy wet, and you know, we should have some nice weather. So it's hopefully that's what it is. As long as we're not dealing with any kind of storm system, like, it'll be pretty, pretty nice and chill. And again, not crazy wet, not crazy hot, not crazy humid. It's kind of like when we start getting into the reason that people live here, you know? So it's
Brayden can't take his shirt off like most of the
copy. Oh yeah, it's still warm enough for Braden to take his shirt off. But you know, so it's
all good. Hoagies and
grinders. Hoagies and grinders. Oh man, all right. We have devolved into the time of the show where everybody's starting to head for the exits. The last of the diehards are packing it up and asking for the check. kind of like when we were in Austin last time and we went to the comedy show and the dude just literally was, I think his goal was to get everyone just
reading
to
off his phone. Like literally. Yeah,
well, I mean, I think that was his whole act, like an Andy Kaufman kind of thing where he's like, I'm going to be so.
And it was like, for me, it felt like an ice bath. You know what I mean? It was like, yes. I'm going to hold out. I'm going to stay in here. I'm going to outlast this guy. How long?
He was literally so like, ridiculous. And he was looking around at points like, you guys are still here? Like,
yeah. It was one of the most painful 30 minutes I've ever had because I was about to fall asleep.
Yeah.
I was exhausted. He was bad. I'll never forget. It's hurting. I was physically hurting from that.
Yeah. It was exhausting. And you're asking for the check. And then like, I think that was literally his whole gist was I'm going to close the show with some just dog shit and see how long people will really hang around.
But we had a great evening, and that's what I'm looking forward to in Miami is Drew buying a great dinner.
More of that. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Get it. No, I'm just kidding.
Although
no,
now I'm it sounds sure like we'll it might be on some vegan, maybe fish. Fish might be the best we're going to get. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Although I will say every time we go to dinner and Braden picks the restaurant and, you know, leaning vegan and even the vegan dishes that he gets are some of the best food that we order.
Braden is one of the best vegans that you can go out to dinner with. He's very flexible. He makes do with what he can. Not like my wife. My wife, you know, causes the scene. You know, she'll like leave the restaurant because they won't accommodate or whatever. So, Braden is good. Braden's a
super vegan.
Find something. Yeah.
The best vegan. Braden
is a model vegan.
Congratulations.
Just don't divide the check with the alcohol, which is unfair. That's the one thing I learned. Like I protect him with all, because he is such a good vegan. I make sure to protect him so we don't divide after three bottles of $500 wine and he splits it and he ate French fries, you know?
We're going to have to see. I have to say I'm very happy with my no drinking alcohol these last few weeks. I just feel so good that I am probably going to try to carry that through, especially since I'm only in Miami for like 3 days. And so if I'm drinking, I'm going to get banged up on that jet lag. So, I don't know. I'm not making any promises right now, but my initial intent is to at least go very easy on the alcohol, if not completely abstain.
Yeah. I've stopped a lot of the drinking too. Just
and that will be something very different for me.
Yeah. I haven't had alcohol in like 3 months myself, but not
really
it doesn't have anywhere to fit in. Right. I just haven't had the situations.
Yeah, so. Well, we shall see. All right. Well, hey, thank you to the audience for sticking around this long. Again, we are in the let's see how long you'll last phase, but you know, we'll let you out the ice bath. Thank you for tuning in. Like we say on every show, without you, there is no us. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. And to my co-host / guest / homies, like thank you guys as always. Thanks for being here and taking the time. All good stuff. Some really good ground that we covered and doing the thing. So I think with that, that's it. And we'll see everybody here next time on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. We'll see y'all soon.